email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you'll know our next guest as an actor from programmes like Green Wing and Episodes, and you know him as a presenter from Portrait Artist of the Year. You probably don't know yet, but you will know now that he is now a novelist of children's books. Stephen Mangan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. Escape the Rooms is your first book.
Are you proud?
Listen,
I mean, hats off to any writers out there. I mean, what a huge amount of work goes into a book. And I was always that sort of kid at age 6, 7, 8. I always had my head in a book. I read dozens of them as a child, and I've got 3 sons of my own now who are 13, 10 and 5. So it feels like I'm knee deep in kids' books, and they've become a bit of a special subject of
yes,
mine.
Yes, yeah. Well, congratulations. Congratulations. It's brilliant. Because I've had to read a lot of kids' books because I have kids of my own and for work. And this is one of the better ones, if not one of the best ones. So
that's great to hear.
Thank you. It's a great read. It's a really good read. My 8-year-old is in the middle of it and enjoying it. And the worst thing he could say about any book is that it's boring, and he hasn't said that about it. He says it's very exciting. So congratulations. Escape the Rooms. Is it because everyone else is doing it, or did you have a burning ambition, a desire?
Because everyone else is doing it is the reason I haven't done it for so long. I'm an actor, and often you hear sports people or models or musicians say, I quite fancy, you know, giving acting a go, and you want to put your hands on your hips and go, well, it's not that easy, mate. You know, I trained for a long time, and I've done my dues in the theatre and all the rest of it. So I'm always wary of people who just assume they can switch, you know, professions like that. And of course, annoyingly, some sportsmen or models turn out to be brilliant actors. But I sort of stayed away from it for years because I felt, in a way, what right do I have to do it?
But was it an itch you had to scratch?
It was. And in the end, I just couldn't ignore it. And my sister, being such a great illustrator, and the two of us got talking, and I had an idea, and the publishers loved the idea. And I worked my butt off. I really tried to make it, something I'd be proud of. So it's taken me the best part of 3 years to write it. On and off, obviously, because I have the day job of acting. So I'm often busy doing that.
So it's not a lockdown book.
No, in fact, I mean, my youngest son is called Jack, and the protagonist in the book is called Jack.
Yes.
And Jack was just a little baby when I started, and I didn't really think I'd stick with that name. But as I carried on writing the book, you know, the real Jack is now 5 years old. And the name just had to stay because I was so used to thinking of the character that way. But I think I'm going to have to write 2 more books, you know, put
for
my
the other
two sons as the hero. Yeah, yeah. I think
no,
so.
But it's funny you say that because we were talking about a Phil Lynott documentary yesterday, and he wrote, you know, that famous song Sarah for his firstborn. And then he felt obliged and pressured into writing, you know, Kathleen for his second girl. So you'll have to write another 2 books for the other 2 lads. And the older lads, they would be your audience. How have they received it?
Yeah, Frank is our middle child, who's 10. He's in the sort of perfect spot for this book. And he's read it 4 times. I'm assuming that's because he likes it, not because he's trying to memorize bits to say back to me.
What sort of feedback does he give you, Stephen?
Well, I mean, I talked to him a lot because obviously that is the target audience.
Yeah.
Walking to school in the morning, I would run by him ideas for new characters. I'm thinking of having a talking dog, Frank, called Jeff Onions. What do you think of that? You know, and like you say, the whole thing I had in my mind the whole way through was just don't be boring. You know, write a story that you don't know what's going to happen. I think we've all picked up books or watched films, and in the first 5 minutes you think, I know where this is going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just wanted to make it as interesting. It's a bit weird. It's hopefully quite moving and funny. Just as different as I could make it. So I would run stuff by Frank, and everything's got the Frank's seal of approval.
Yeah. Did you really? I'm saying that because that's one of those things that my 8-year-old says, and you use it in the book, and it's one of those, I don't know where they got it from, but it's one of those bits of dialogue that 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds say. Did you really?
Yeah. Did you really? Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
So I know. And I'm not allowed to, the sad thing for me is that they're fed up with me reading them stories out loud. I mean, I always thought, you know, as having a dad who's an actor would be a gift for a child. They'd look back in their old age and say the best thing about having a dad who was an actor was the way he would read his stories with all the voices. They're fed up with it. They're just like, can you just read it, Dad? Can you stop putting on all those accents and all those voices?
You draw on your Irish connection in a big way because there's a big scene at a wake. Callie's grandmother, and she describes that as a thing they do in Ireland. And were you at a wake in Mayo as a child or not?
I was, absolutely. My grandfather, who died aged 92, and they had a wake for him in Dahoma, which is, you know, near Balmullet in Mayo. Mm. And I remember as a 13 or 14-year-old being led into the room where the body was with the lid off the coffin and just being sort of fascinated and, you know, slightly confused, you know, all those things.
A bit scared, I would imagine.
It's scary. Yeah, and also, of course, that the house is full of people, you know, and everyone seems to be having a good time, and there's a lot of drinking and chatting, and then there's your grandfather in the corner there. So, yeah, it made a big impression on me, actually. And when my mum died, we had a wake for her in London. I wanted to talk about death in a way, you know, in a comedy, really. I mean, I don't make light of death, but I do think that comedy is a great vehicle for talking about some of the most profound aspects of human experience. For me, life is all those things wrapped up together. It's comedy and drama and tragedy and farce, and it's every moment. It's there.
But you know well from being at a wake and being at Irish funerals that people tell jokes at funerals. That's life.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, they're great fun. You know, I mean, I try and tell my English friends what a laugh an Irish funeral can be, and they look at me very askance. You know, they don't really understand, but I wanted to put that in because it's, I don't know. Also, you know, living, we tend to live now separated out. You know, I know when my dad and mum were brought up in Mayo that, you know, there'd be three generations in the house or at least close by.
Yes.
And I think as people have spread out across the globe and across the country, we've lost that really. And grandparents live hundreds of miles away from their grandchildren. And, you know, young children aren't necessarily exposed to people who are older as much as they used to be.
Which is not good.
I don't think it is.
The Friends reunion, I'm talking about that because you were in episodes with Matt LeBlanc and you're still in contact?
I am, yeah. I am. I know where you're going with this.
You're uniquely situated then because you have that strong Irish connection and a connection with Matt LeBlanc and then the memes. So he was wearing this dad shirt, he folded his arms and the funny people in Ireland just said, ah, come on now, come on. He's perfect. He's your uncle there in the corner going, all right, down from Dublin are you? Down from Dublin, is it? So have you told him about them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't miss a trick like that. I mean, it caused a lot of joy in this house. Let me put it that way. I mean, like you say, I'm probably the perfect audience. Yeah. Some of the stuff people were coming up with was absolutely priceless. I'm not sure Matt really understood what was happening, but you know, obviously he's Italian, but he saw the funny side of it. He's got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he was the star of the reunion for me. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I know him the best. I know Lisa Kudrow a little bit, but I know, obviously, Matt and I have worked together for many years. But he, you know, he came across as he is, which is very relaxed, very natural, very, you know, happy in his own skin.
Yes.
So that's the man he is, and that's what, you know, I think what you see is what you get. He's no different from how you'd imagine to how he is in person.
And you know, self-deprecating and a bit like you, actually. You're very like you. Wow. No wonder you got on so well together.
We did. We had a lot of fun. I mean, he's that perfect combination. He takes the work seriously, but he doesn't take himself seriously.
It's
the right way around.
If we could all achieve that.
That's the goal.
What will you do? I see you're doing Landscape Artist of the Year now for Sky.
Yes, that's right. We start filming the next series next week. And, you know, unlike the last series where we were stuck really within the M25, we couldn't because of COVID, we're back out on the road again. So we're in Kent, we're in Cornwall, we're in the Lake District, we're in Scotland. Yeah, we're all over.
Speaking of COVID, just before it struck, you were shooting a comedy movie about a pandemic. Is that true?
I know. It is absolutely true. Yeah, we were shooting a movie in Israel, in Haifa. It's set in Gaza,
A Gaza weekend.
It's about a global pandemic. It was written 4 or 5 years ago, so before any hint of this current issue came up. And it's a comedy about people, you know, the country starting to wear, everyone wearing masks and queuing for food and panicking and trying to leave the country. And this was February, March, we were filming this last year, as the whole world was starting to go into this very thing we were filming. It was
so
bizarre.
What has happened to it now?
We got to within 2 weeks of finishing and they shut Israel down and we had to leave. And it took 13 months before the insurance and the crew and the cast and all the rest of it got back together. And we couldn't get back to Israel. We had to film the rest of it in Jordan. So we were in Jordan in April and filmed the last 2 weeks there. So I'm hoping that I didn't put on too much weight over the year, because I'll go through one door.
Will people see the funny side of it now?
Is it the best time?
Yeah.
The best timing ever for a film, or the absolute worst?
Worst time. Oh, it remains to be seen.
To laugh at a pandemic.
The last time I spoke to you, it was on the telly. You had a huge contingent of your Irish cousins in the audience. And you did say at the time that you'd done audio stories for The Guardian. You've done an audio book of this one, Escape the Rooms, so it will be the same, will it? You'll just be going out and you'll press play. And
that's it. That's it. I'll be leaving my kids, you know, my five-year-old now. I'll be heading out for the evening and I'll just press play and he'll have my soothing voice. Although the story is, you know, it's fairly scary in parts.
It is a bit scary, yes. Now, just before you go, I hope The Split will be back again. And the good news is it is coming back, isn't it, Stephen?
It is. We start filming that as well, actually, on Monday.
That's good news.
All summer. And it's the last series, 5 episodes. And yeah. I've just read the last episode. It's an absolute belter. So I'm looking forward to that.
And there's somebody else remembering you as Dan Moody from Alan Partridge, which is a classic. And you go, it's there on YouTube if you want to see it. Stephen Mangan, a real pleasure talking to you. Escape the Rooms is the new book, and it's highly recommended from here. Thanks, Stephen. Good luck.
Thanks, Ray. I appreciate it.
That's it from us. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.